wants to thank everybody for clapping because he sat down. You know, we didn't have a special number tonight, and Miss Bennett, I believe, has got enough feeling in her fingers and toes to play that little handshaking song, if I can get her up here. And she thanks you for the prayers that have gone up far, and she's a little anxious about the 20th when you come up on that 6-month scan. And so pray for the first time in about 3 years of continuous chemo, they gave her 4 months off from the infusion. She's taking the pills, but she's off of the infusion. Brother, what's the matter? Yeah, okay. Well, now let me see here. We've done this song. Tom, we were doing it, weren't we, a long time ago when we were having meetings up there? I think we were. God bless you. Glad to see you. I want to be a friend to you, a friend to you, a friend to you. I want to be a friend to you and have you as my friend too. Now, we can remember that, I think, can't we? And then the next verse is, let's shake hands in a friendly way. We've done this before. A friendly way, a friendly way. Let's shake hands in a friendly way and be good friends all the way. We'll be seated on the first verse and then stand up and sing and shake hands on the second one. Make sure nobody's left out of getting a good handshake. How many of you love the Lord this evening? Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be a Christian. Wonderful to serve the Lord. It's good to be alive and be able to greet one another in the name of our wonderful Savior. All right, I want to be a friend to you, a friend to you. Help me now. I want to be a friend to you, friend to you, a friend to you. I want to be a friend to you and have you as my two. I heard a man one time say in a situation like this where the people weren't singing, don't sit in there and look like a donkey chewing on a green briar. Sing. So let's try it one more time. I want to be a friend, and then we'll shake hands. Let's go. I want to be a friend to you, friend to you, a friend to you. I want to be a friend to you and have you as my... Let's shake hands in a friendly way. Let's shake hands in a friendly way. Friendly way, a friendly way. Let's shake hands in a friendly way and be good friends all. One more time. Shake hands in a friendly, sing it, friendly way, a friendly way. Shake hands in a friendly way. Friends all way. Anybody did not get your hand shaken? Come here, honey. I'll shake your little hand. All right. God bless you. You may be seated. Before we get officially started this evening, I want to introduce a fine couple here, the Long family. They're sitting back there on the back seat with us from right here in Seaford. We're just so glad to have them. Jerry and Gloria. Hold your hands up back there so they can see. All right. Wonderful. And we've communicated two or three times. I think the last time we were down in Florida in some meetings, and they've been listening to the radio broadcast, and I'm very thankful for that. I want to share, before we get into a message this evening, some blessings that have come our way. I've made very good friends. I've been friends, actually, with Kevin Ziegler in Danville, Illinois. And he's very good with computers and so forth. I can do my Bible programs and so forth. But he's set up a web page for yours truly that just is second to none, I believe. And he told me where to go here on the web page, www.restorationplea.com/Ray. And when you get onto that, the first thing you see, he got a picture of mine somewhere. My mouth wide open and scrimped up with my Bible preaching. And then he's got in colors across the page, heaven high, hell deep, worldwide, and shotgun barrel straight. And he's got it loaded down with videos or audios. And he's going to load it down with videos. He's already got our schedule there with the location, the address, and a map how to get there. Plus a page he's going to prepare for her, as well as a biographical sketch of yours truly. And so It looks like in my old age, the Lord is blessing me and blessing us and being able to reach out in a greater way than we have ever been able to do before. And yes, brother, go for it. Well, that'll be wonderful, brother, and I appreciate it. And also, you know that our radio broadcast over WGMD is not only on the radio station, but it's heard out on the Internet as well. And so this modern mass communication can be used for something besides peddling pornography. We can use it to preach the gospel of our wonderful Lord. Also, the Lord has blessed us, and I know you're interested in our work and our schedule because you stand behind us. We've had a great year so far. We had four engagements in January. The church at Cresswell, North Carolina, then outside of Columbia, North Carolina. Then we were down at North Myrtle Beach with a church there. Then with Linwood Smith also in January. And we had four stops in Florida. We had Daytona 500 Sunday. I preached for the South Haven Church. Then Sunday night down with the Okeechobee Christian Church there on the lake. And then preached for the church in Venice over on the west coast, and also Englewood on the west coast. And then we had a meeting in South Georgia with the church there at Jessup, Georgia. Then more recently, we've had meetings up in the mountains outside of Roanoke, Virginia, the Newcastle Christian Church. And we just finished a revival meeting with the Swan Quarter Church down in Swan Quarter, North Carolina. And then our next meeting is beginning Friday night with the church up at Hindman, Pennsylvania. And so pray for us. Then after that, Gyneth goes back for her scan. And then we've got meetings. I got one in Kentucky. Then we're, Lord willing, going out to Illinois. And we've booked three meetings, actually, out there with Kevin Ziegler. We booked revivals this year and next year. And next year, the camp meeting, the initial camp meeting that he's starting out there to begin right after the revival meeting there with the New Testament Church in Danville, Illinois. And so we're able to keep going by the blessings of the Lord, and we thank you for your prayers. And I'm thankful for Tom and his beautiful wife back there. I've loved the postals for all these years. Want to pray for Tom as he goes through his treatments and everything. And I know the church here is just thrilled to death to have Tammy and Tony here. How many of you are glad to have them here? Over half of you are glad to have them here. And I think that's a wonderful thing. All right. Well, we're here on serious business. And it's wonderful that we have this beautiful, beautiful book. It's inspired from the book of Genesis right on through the book of Revelation. Not too long ago, there were some that were ridiculing the notion that the whale or the large fish actually swallowed Jonah. And I shared with someone, it's a matter of faith. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe God's word or not? And what we do see that we can understand causes us to accept the rest of it by faith. And so it's not a matter of, can the Lord make a big enough fish? Of course he could make a big enough fish. I told someone he could have made one big enough to swallow the Empire State Building, parking garage and all, and have enough left over to put the Milky Way in there if he'd have wanted to. It's a matter of faith. Do we believe in God? And faith is the victory that overcometh the world. And it's not just a blind faith, it's a substantive faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we're standing on the solid rock when we stand on the wonderful Word of God. Well, I love Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. I love the books of law, the Pentateuch written by Moses. And I love the books of history. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, so forth and so on. And those wonderful stories about the history of the Jews. And then those beautiful poetic books. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. The wonderful, wonderful inspiration we get from them. And then the prophetical books prophesying about the wonderful things that would take place. I was reading from a scholar some time back that suggested there were about 250 prophecies in the Bible, and all but about 50, according to his calculation, had been fulfilled. And then they went to the Las Vegas odds type makers and tried to calculate what the odds would be of 50 prophecies being made, being minutely fulfilled. And the odds were 1 to 1 with 20,000 zeros. And so that causes us to want to fall right flat of our face before God and say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. It just makes us thankful to be a Christian, clear down to our little greasy toes. And I say, give God the glory, and all the people said. Well, with all of that background, and then with the Gospels, and the Bible says in John, if everything was written about Jesus that could be written, John said, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books. Someone said, that's a great figure of speech. I don't necessarily think it's a figure of speech. I don't believe the universe could contain the books that could be written about all the background of all the things that we see around about us. It's glorious. It's wonderful. This time of year, we just see the wonderful glory of God. We have the book of Acts. We have the epistles. We have Revelation. But tonight, I want to go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, and talk for a few minutes on the subject of the victorious life. All of us want to live a victorious life. All of us want to be happy. I want to be happy. Mrs. Bennett wants to be happy. There's a lot of things that happen that bring unhappiness, but God can give us the victory so that we can indeed lead a victorious and a happy life. And we can be happy if we just follow God's plan, and I believe the outline, the pattern, is set right forth here in His Word. In Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now, Paul is writing to the Roman Christians. I've tried to point out in our revival meetings and personally when I'm teaching people or on the radio that these epistles were not written to convert people, but written to people that were already converted. You people realize that. I know Brother John preaches that. The epistles were written, and it says, addressed to the saints and addressed to the brethren. And so they were addressed to people already saved. And so people get confused when they go to Ephesians, where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, or Romans chapter 5, where it says we're justified by faith, and they don't realize that this is talking to Christians, and how they were saved is found back in the book of Acts, in those 8 or 9 accounts of conversion back in the book of Acts. But here Paul is writing to one of the churches, the church at Rome, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How many of you believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation wherever it is preached? My, the apostle Paul went to Rome. He never went to Rome meddling in Caesar's business. He never went to Rome meddling in the Senate's business. He went to Rome in the name of Jesus Christ. And because he did, in one of his epistles, he said, they of Caesar's household salute you. And he converted some of Caesar's relatives. And he converted some in the Praetorian Guard. And the gospel is God's power to salvation wherever it is preached. And here he's writing to the Roman Christians, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He is pleading with them. He is reasoning with them. He is begging them. He said, I am asking and beseeching you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do you think based on what God's done for us, it's reasonable for us to serve Him? Why, it's unreasonable not to. The Bible says, which is your reasonable service. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. If America wants to turn into a gambling casino, that doesn't mean you have to go along with them. If America wants to go down the road of drug addiction, you don't have to go with them. If America wants to go down the road of alcoholism and excuse-making, you don't have to go down the road with them. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, changed, born again. The Bible says, renewing your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I think about Brother John living the victorious life, I guess there wouldn't be a better place to begin than love, wouldn't you say? The Bible teaches that that's what God is. God is love. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world. You can look at John 3:16, which I believe is the most familiar verse, but the least understood in America. The Bible uses so, that's a matter of magnitude, so loved, how much He loved the world that He gave. And if we understood the meaning of that word gave, I believe we'd all break down and cry tonight. On the cross, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God stood by and let Him go through that. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that is a manifestation of love. There's all kinds of love, fondness, phileo, total love, agape. And the Bible teaches that God loved the world, that God is love, and there's no way happiness can come into one home in this building without love. I'm thankful for love that can come into a home. I hope that all of you have love in your home. When there's fighting and quarreling and hatefulness and bitterness, there's just no joy in the home. And I'm thankful for the happiness and the love that we do have in our little home. How many of you men have told your wives that you love them lately? How many of you men have told you told your wife, all right? How many of you women have told your husband that you love them? You know, you like to have a little response when you say you love your partner and so forth. The other day, I was thinking about Gyneth, and I said, honey, I love you so much I can't hardly stand it. She said, well, sit down then. That is really not the way to respond to someone that's trying to make an overture of love. Not too long ago, as a matter of fact, after church, I stopped right out in the middle of the road. There's times when you feel a little bit good, you feel a little bit more love coming in your heart. And I said, honey, I stopped right there in the street in front of our house. I said, I love you so much, I can't even drive. She said, well, you can't drive anyway. And I hope that maybe this service and maybe some of the fellowship that you have might do her some good or do us all some good. But now, seriously, we need that old-fashioned kind of love, and it begins with the love of God. And love is going to have to be in our home. My friends, I can quote Acts 2:38 and make my voice quiver. I can quote Acts 22:16 and make my voice do all kinds of turns. And I can cry some crocodile tears and quote 1 Peter 3:21, Ephesians 4:5, John 3:16, John 3:5, Colossians 2:12. I can quote the Bible forwards and backwards, but if I don't have love, it's not doing me a bit of good. The Bible says you can give your body to be burned, and if you don't have love, it doesn't do you any good. You can talk about all kinds of things, but it has to be love in your heart before you can win souls, before you can win your children. They're going to have to see love in your heart, love in your house, love in your home. Love is absolutely essential in living the victorious life. John, I heard one time there was a man took his wife before the judge. And he said, son, what can I do for you? He said, well, I want to get rid of her. I can't take it any longer. He said, well, son, didn't you say that you'd take her in sickness and health? He said, yes, sir, your honor. He said, didn't you say you'd take her till death do your part? He said, yes, sir, your honor. He said, well, didn't you say you'd keep her for better for worse? He said, yes, sir, your honor, but she's worse than I thought she's going to be. People will interrupt their lives for the least little things, but the Bible teaches that love is something that's deep. It's not something that's shallow. Love for husbands, love for wives, love for children. And there's a lot of broken homes today because of the lack of love. There's a lot of incarcerated young men and young women because of the lack of love. And there's the lack of love from sea to shining sea. And our basic problem is not an economic problem. It's a problem of a lack of old-fashioned biblical love. And it'll not be solved when we get the dollar straight. It'll only be solved when we get our soul straight. And we only get our soul straight when we get in line with God. And we can begin by striving to live the victorious life by having love, the true love of God, in our hearts, lives, homes, families, and churches. Then, secondly, I believe we could say in living the victorious life, we're going to have to understand the meaning of sacrifice. Divine love necessitates sacrifice. And before your home or your church or a family or an individual, a preacher, the deacon, the elder, before anybody is going to really get their head screwed on straight by living the victorious life and being happy, they're not going to have only love, but sacrifice. We're going to have to learn how to sacrifice. Some of us old hard, stubborn men ought to be taken out to the woodshed. My friends, God wants the man to be the spiritual leader of the house. And how can he be the spiritual leader of the house if he acts like he was baptized in beet juice and pickle instead of saved by the Lord? He's supposed to set the example. His children should see him reading the Bible. How are they going to read the Bible if they don't see him reading the Bible? If they don't see him praying, how are they going to pray? They need to see mom praying, mom reading the Bible. And so we need to look around about us and see what a blessing, love, and sacrifice has done in the country, in our homes, and in the churches. And are you guilty of refusing to be willing to sacrifice, turn the other cheek for the sake of peace and joy and happiness? I heard one time there was a woman that married four husbands. Evidently, first of all, she married a banker. And then she married an actor. Then she married a preacher. And then she married an undertaker. Somebody said, now let me get this straight. You say you first of all married a banker? Yeah. Then you married an actor? That's right. You married a preacher then and an undertaker? She said, that's right. How come you to marry such a variety of men? She said, well, I married one for the money, and two for the show, and three to get ready, and four to go. And that's just about the attitude of our people here in our beloved country. Do your own thing. Be what you want to be. Let your conscience be your guide. And that's the trouble with America. That's the trouble sometimes in the church. That's the trouble in our homes. We let our conscience be our guide when God should be our guide. We let our heart be our guide when God ought to be our guide. We let our feeling be our guide when God ought to be our God. And so if you can't go by your feelings, if you can't go by your conscience, if you can't go by what you think, what do you go by? You go by the Word of God. I was reading the other day. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked above all things. And so if the heart is desperately wicked, you surely can't go by your heart. And so here we want to be happy in our homes. We want to be happy when we get in our cars tonight. You never know when somebody comes up back of you blowing the horn almost right out of the steering column. That happened here at Millsboro yesterday or the day before. We pulled out of Lowe's and somebody pulled up behind us and started blowing that horn. And I was afraid to look back. I didn't know about road rage. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. You know, a person can be stabbed or shot or cussed out. So I didn't even look. And I pulled up there. We was going in to get a bite to eat. And he pulled up back of him and was blowing that horn. Beep, beep, beep. And I still didn't look back. And I pulled all the way around into the parking lot. He pulled up beside me, beeping that horn. And he got out. He didn't look too happy. I thought, what is the matter here? He said, the license plate flew off of your trailer back down the road here. And I thanked him and I offered to buy him a Coke if he would come in. But there's a lot of road rage. There's a lot of hatefulness. There's a lot of meanness because people don't understand love and sacrifice. But what about your life? What about your relationship? Are you willing to sacrifice, men? How long, sir, has it been since you sacrificed? Sacrifice to make your wife happy. You know, I've learned something that makes my wife happy. I insist that she goes in and buys something to make her happy. Honey, don't you want to stop here and go in and get something? We were in a revival meeting with Greg Neal, and we told Greg that, and Bobby said to Gunnath, does he really try to get you to go? Now, she won't go in and be exorbitant, but it makes her happy. And it helps her, not only in what she's going through, but in our relationship. Be good to your wife. Sacrifice something. Don't be a skinny, don't be a skin flint is what I was trying to say. I don't mean take your last dollar, but don't be a skin flint. Don't be a cheapskate. One day she'll be gone or you'll be gone or nobody will be here. You won't be able to do anything like that after you're in your grave. So right now, show love and show sacrifice and really tap on to the real meaning of joy and happiness. And learn how to really live a victorious life. Then another thing in living a victorious life is faithfulness. We here believe in the restoration of first century Christianity, don't we, John? And John, listen, that was a par excellence of a sermon this morning. Amen, people? My, we need a regular dose of that. The early churches, the early restoration churches, they had a regular dose of that kind of preaching. I mean, somewhere along the line in about every sermon, some of those basic things would come out. And I think that's why there's such biblical illiteracy across the brotherhood, is because we're not getting more of the old-fashioned basics. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one God, one Father, and no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible. So I want to say God bless John for that sermon that he preached this morning. But as I go to the Bible and read where the Bible talks about faithfulness, and as I think about the restoration movement, why, we restored the name. We said, let's just get rid of denominational names. We love Protestants, but we just decide we won't use that term. We love people in denominationalism and a lot of good everywhere, of course. We all know that. But we're not going that route, and we're not going the route of Romanism. We just decided, let's just wear the name that glorifies the founder of the church. Let's just be Christians. And then we have worked in restoring what the Bible says about baptism and what the Bible says about the Lord's Supper. And we learned that before choirs and before all of these things, they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And we've restored that. But now, down the line, we can quiver our voices and give a thus saith the Lord for 1,000 verses. But there's a lot of things we need to work on. And one is the meaning of sacrifice and the meaning of faithfulness. You get your church books out. Not only here, but every place we've been. I believe we've been in 11 meetings, 11 engagements so far this year, not counting the radio broadcast. And in every place we've been, you could take the church books, and about half of them on the books there, you could classify as in some level of unfaithfulness. Their cup is unpartaken of, and the unleavened bread is unused. And examples of people standing up God at the blood of Jesus and standing Him up when it comes to partaking of His body. And so therefore, unfaithfulness is the breakdown of a family. It's the breakdown of a church. It's the breakdown of a home. It's the breakdown of a nation. It's the destruction of the world. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. If we had half as much interest in America in trying to be faithful as we do trying to manufacture another brand line of beer and teaching them how to gamble, we'd be a lot better off. I told them in our Sunday school class this morning that we'd been in some revivals and we had a break. Had two trips to Florida this year. Had to come back for some radio work and so forth. But we were coming back, had a few days off. We'd just finished a good revival way down in South Georgia next to the Florida line. And pulled into a nice place there to get a cold drink or a cup of coffee and then fill up with gas. And like I shared with Sunday school class this morning, I got ready to pay, and over here was a lady that had lottery tickets all over the table, and she was trying to figure out something and scratch off all of those numbers. And on the other side, the bottles of beer were about like that, but they were great big bottles of beer, buddy. And so on one side of the counter there were all these bottles of beer, and over here we had all of these cards that they were clicking off, and all of these lottery tickets. And so the only place for me to go was right in between. So I went in there and I put my items down there that I wanted to buy, and I got to thinking about where I was. I said, you know something? And I got their attention, all of them that were there. I said, I just came from an old-fashioned revival down in Georgia, and now here I am gambling on one side of me and drinking on the other. Well, this lady here turned her head so fast it's a wonder it didn't crack. But she knew that I was saying it in love and that I wasn't being derogatory or hateful. And I said, it looks to me like we need to get another revival started. My friends, this nation needs a revival. We need a revival of old-fashioned Bible Christianity. We need a revival of old-fashioned love. We need a revival of old-fashioned sacrifice. We need a revival of old-fashioned faithfulness to learn how to be faithful. Husbands faithful, wives faithful, children faithful. There's hatred and bitterness everywhere in the country. And when Christ is absent, there's going to be everything but joy and happiness and victory. Over in our part of the country, there was a man and his wife. Finally, she has died of great age. Had one of the greatest businesses in that part of the county. Untold millions. I guess they didn't know how much money they did have. And there's been a big fight. She said the son never paid any attention to her, and she gave everything to the daughter. And
They've been fighting back and forth and been in court and all kinds of things and all kinds of ideas. And here's that good old family, and what? As they're now in their grave, the kids are fighting and warring. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so the love of money and the lack of faithfulness and joy has just brought unhappiness. My friends, you think you'll be happy if you had $1 million? You wouldn't be happy. You wouldn't be happy. A lot of these millionaires are some of the ones that are the most abusive when it comes to alcohol and drugs. There's only happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've got to get that through to the minds and the hearts of the people and teach our children and learn ourselves the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrifice time to come to the table. Sacrifice time to do something good for the Lord's church. The Lord's church is not just going to grow through some kind of a Pavlov osmosis program. God's people are going to have to get up off of these padded pews and get out there and start knocking on some doors and talking to some people about the Lord. There's people out there that can be reached somehow, some way. We've got to do our best, and then pray that God will take that little bit that we've done and multiply. And so now, how are you standing so far in the victorious life? How you standing with true love? And how you standing with sacrifice? And how you standing with faithfulness? And then last of all, tonight, everything is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Brother Tom would tell you that. Don would tell you that. Buddy would tell you that. All you fine Christian women and men would tell you that. Everything is in Jesus Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The wonderful name of Jesus. It's wonderful to confess the name of Jesus. In one of our other escapades with the hospitals when Joe was critically ill, we came home a different way from Baltimore, from Johns Hopkins that weekend, came up across the river and came down the Highway 13, and we were coming Route 40. And I needed to make a stop. And you know how it is. Every once in a while, you just have to do that. It's a natural thing. And there was no place to make a stop except a liquor store and a bar. And I pulled right up there. And I thought, well, I can go right in here. And I'm sure they'll allow me to use their facilities. And when I went in there, there was the bar and there was the liquor and everybody sitting around there. And I walked around the bar and I went into the restroom and closed the door, and for some reason, I raised my voice and said, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then I wondered if His name had ever been spoken in that place. Friends, there's people that have never heard the name of Jesus spoken in honor. Just a while ago, a man came into our living room offering to cut our grass for the next year and for the summer, for the season, and he used the name of Jesus. And then the next time he used the name of Jesus, I said, use the name of James. I said, don't use the name of Jesus in here. My friends, people are cursing and swearing and don't even know it. Unhappy and don't even know it. On their way to a crisis eternity and don't even realize it. And don't realize that happiness is just as close as turning your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, some of the disciples walked away from Jesus and didn't follow Him anymore. And Jesus looked at His own immediate disciples and He said, will you also go away? You remember what Peter said? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Buddy, there's no place to go if we don't go to Jesus. When we think about the church, everything is in Jesus. Jesus is in the name here. Jesus is at the table. Jesus is in the prayers. Jesus is in our singing. Jesus is in our giving. And everything is in Jesus. He's the only one. He's the Rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. My friends, He's the Rock of Ages. He's the Creator and the Sustainer of the world. And I said to my wife, we were talking, people just must not believe that Jesus is coming again. But He is. We're going to close here tonight. Are you living a victorious life? I might have shared this with you one time when we were here several months back. But I've been sharing in our revival meetings that I believe the old sheep have been getting off too easy. We've gone right to the baptistry and tried to get people to repent and be baptized, and we're going to come to that. But when it comes to revival, that word revival means reviving what's there. You see, evangelism is reaching the lost, but revival. But now, revival means reviving the sheep. Now I'm looking at some sheep here, all kinds of sheep. Some with hair and some without hair. Some with teeth and some without teeth. All kinds of us. But if you're a Christian, then you're in God's fold and you're one of His sheep. But now in a revival, we've been letting the sheep get off too easy, because a lot of times the sheep can get hateful and contrary and mean and ornery. Someone says, what kind of sins do you think Christians can commit? Well, they can commit all of them if they don't watch it. And so, not a one of us have our head stuck up in the air today, or nose stuck up at anything or anybody. Because Jesus died for us. He died for us because we were lost and we were sinners. On a radio program some time ago, I was in the book of Ephesians. And Paul told those Ephesians what they were before they became Christians. Uncircumcised, pagan, heathen, without God, and having no hope in the world. Now, that's a mouthful. But he reminded them that they were now sheep and expected of God to be faithful. So I don't know about anybody wanting to make a decision tonight, but I think everyone should make some kind of a decision tonight. I'm going to have more love and more faithfulness and more sacrifice. These things don't come easy. The flesh gets in the way, or the nature of the flesh or something, and the Bennett side gets in my way. But friends, listen. We need to be filled with the Jesus side, to be like Him and to be more what He'd have us to be. So sheep, make some kind of a decision tonight to do something in a sacrificial, loving nature for God and be faithful. But above all, as we close out here, and appreciate Tammy coming up here and playing. If someone has never confessed your faith in Christ, repented, and been immersed, have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says buried with Him in baptism. Romans 6:4, Colossians 2:12, Acts 8, they went down into the water. Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. But then the Bible teaches we have a life of faithfulness that we're supposed to live. Yesterday, Miss Bennett, and I don't want to embarrass her, I love her too much, but this 4 months that she's been off of the infusion, just on the chemo pills, her hair's been growing very well, and she went to get a little trim, and almost ready to go with the hair that the Lord has given her. My, it's beautiful. I told her, beautiful. Looked like a Cupid doll. I wish she'd... I'm getting into trouble.